Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 14th of July, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad to have you here. And also with me, because I couldn't convince him to leave when we were done yesterday, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
I've been here for 24 hours.
So I'm
cranky. I'm hungry also and thirsty.
All right. So Hangry Brian, this is going to be a great show. We have some legal updates for you on the Apple front. And Brian, I know that there's one that you were interested in because it seems like the right people won for a change.
Yeah, Andrew covered this for us. The Apple won a court case against a trademark troll. Apparently, Social Tech had sued Apple in 2018 because they had an app called Memoji. And of course, Apple has its feature in iMessages called Memoji.
Memoji. Yes.
And what really struck me, it wasn't that Apple won the case. It's what the original judge had said, which I didn't catch at the time, but this was upheld in an appellate court hearing by a three judge panel, also known as a three pudge.
Okay.
Anyway, so the original judge said the undisputed evidence in the record points in only one direction. Social Tech developed and posted its app with a singular focus on securing registration to sue Apple without any good faith regard to the commercial viability of its product. And that is like, it just, I mean, we see patent trolls and trademark trolls both win a lot, it feels like.
Yeah.
And this was delightful and refreshing to see a trademark troll called out for being a trademark troll. And then that so far holding up. The attorney for this company, a fellow named John Pierce, said that he would immediately prepare an appeal for the U.S. Supreme Court, as Andrew reported. I'm guessing good luck with that.
Okay. Yeah. Part of what I thought was interesting about this was basically that the judge saw right through it. And it seems like that doesn't happen as often as it should, I guess, or as often as I would like. So it was, like you said, it was refreshing to see. So that's one case that we have to talk about. And there's another going on that Charlotte can tell us about because it's something that's happening in her neck of the woods.
Yeah, there's a quite substantial row rumbling here that could, I mean, theoretically, and we'll come on to why I don't think it will happen in a sec, but it could in theory see Apple quit the UK, essentially. It involves a company called Opticellular Technology, easy for you to say. And my understanding is that they have patented technology that helps iPhones connect to the 3G and 4G networks here. And Apple, as I understand it, is expected to pay some kind of license fee for that.
Okay.
There is a row over that money because it looks like Apple is being asked to pay at the moment up to $7 billion of your US dollars.
Okay.
Many monies.
Yes.
And obviously this is a row over this sum is going through the courts, and a judge, Mr. Justice Meade, said that Apple might be disappointed at the amount it's going to be asked to pay, and dismissed the idea that there's no evidence Apple is really going to say no to making the payment. But Apple's lawyer, who is called Mary Demetriou, said, "I'm not sure that's right. Apple's position is it should indeed be able to reflect on the terms and decide whether commercially it is right to accept them or to leave the UK market." I mean, it's a significant market to leave. It is a significant threat to make. I think there is a long way to go on this. But going to be, you know, I don't think we're going to hear about really have this resolved till next year. I think, yeah, July next year.
Yeah.
There's a long way to go, is my point. But it's going to be an interesting one to watch, and hopefully everyone kind of steps back off the high wire and
Yeah, because like you said, like we're only partway through this because the ruling on what that amount of money is going to be or what have you doesn't come until next July. So
there's a lot to play through.
Yeah. So there's much that could happen on that front before.
Yeah, and I suspect
Apple takes their ball and goes home.
I suspect lots of lawyers are making lots of money to discuss this away from the courts, and in some way that will get resolved, would be my guess.
Yeah.
I am not convinced that Apple wouldn't pull iPhones and cellular Apple Watches and cellular iPads out of the UK market if the cost was paying $7 billion for, you know, access to what seems like two patents. And I mean, that is extortionate as can be. And I'm not even sure how much profit that would leave on the table for those iPhones and Apple Watches and cellular iPads in that one market. So, I mean, I get where you're coming from, Charlotte. I don't think it is out of the realm of possibility, I guess.
Well, we haven't seen them actually leave anywhere, but I feel like we've seen gearing up to leave at least once or twice. Brian, I may be completely wrong on this.
I don't think they pulled out of a market yet, but this is an extortionate at $7 billion, which I think that Charlotte is completely right that it would not actually be that much, but at $7 billion, it's beyond extortion. It's actually, I mean, it's insane. And is anyone else paying that? And is this cell phone technology patents, generally speaking, are required, like if they're accepted into a standard, they're supposed to be licensed on a fair and reasonable basis, a FRAND basis.
Yeah. And I think it's worth pointing out that the threat really is about, it would be, say, no new iPhone sales. You know, there'd be no new iPhone sold. You're obviously not going to cut off existing iPhones working, you know, but the iPhone, right. I mean, I guess in theory, the iPhone 14 or something could not be released in the UK. And yeah, I mean, Brian has a point. It's like, it's a significant amount of money, even for a company of Apple size. It's for them to judge whether that they clearly don't feel that the, you know, the price meets the product is worth the product.
Yeah, it's way more than the taxes that they're shifting over to Ireland.
I will say, like, that was settled, and I sort of did like Apple's answer to that, which was, if you don't want us to not pay taxes, then change the law because we're compliant, which I thought was kind of an interesting answer to that anyway.
And, you know, the UK is obviously a relatively, on a global scale, a pretty small market compared to lots of other places. We're only a small, relatively small country. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think I'm going to be talking to you on July the 14th, 2022, discussing how I won't be able to buy an iPhone that's going to be released in September 2022. I'm fairly confident in putting that bet on the record.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel we've heard motions.
I do hear where you're coming from. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm hearing here is stay tuned because next July, apparently, one or the other of you is going to be taking a victory lap. So.
No. There would be no victory. If Apple pulled out of the UK market with iPhones, there would be no victory lap. I want Charlotte to be right.
I do too.
I think the likelihood is that Charlotte will be right. I just don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
So you think it's possible, but not likely?
Wrong. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That. It's not likely. It is possible. And it is very unlikely that the licensing, the royalty, licensing royalty would be set at the high end of that figure that's being kicked around. So that will have a lot to do with it too.
You mentioned it earlier, Brian, and this was my question in hearing this was, Apple's not the only one that sells cell phones in the UK. So that being the case, like, what are the other companies paying for this sort of technology if it's supposed to be licensed to everybody? And, you know, Apple's not opposed to paying, but they're opposed to that price. Then I would like to know sort of what the going rate is for those patents to, in order for that to happen. So hopefully we'll find that out. We'll have to see. So, Charlotte, I'm headed to you again as we talk a little bit about...
What do I do?
No, it's nothing. You're just here to give us updates on Apple and some, like, this sort of the latest on antitrust when it comes to Apple.
Yes, this week in antitrust, I seem to not be able to get through certainly a fortnight, maybe a week, without there being some development involving antitrust and Apple or Google or both.
Yes.
And we can pick kind of whichever way we want to go. We did discuss a bit, I think, Kelly, the antitrust bills that ended up on Capitol Hill, that Apple was not very happy with.
Yes.
And I believe that remains the holding position of the company. I've not heard much since, but it's also worth noting that, you know, Google is now in the spotlight as well. Earlier this month, and a week ago, 36 states in the District of Columbia decided to sue Google over antitrust things. Forgive me if you've heard this song before, because the attorneys general for that state claimed that that Google has used anti-competitive practices, abuses its position as a gatekeeper in the sale and distribution of apps.
What? No.
Yes, as I say, forgive me if you've heard this song before. Again, Google not very impressed. In a blog post, its senior director of public policy, Wilson White, said that the complaint limits its definition of the app marketplace to Android devices only. This completely ignores competition we face from other platforms such as Apple's. So, again, like, it's all, you know, I feel like I'm repeating myself every time we discuss this, because the arguments are always the same.
Yes.
If Apple is in the spotlight, it goes, yeah, but we don't even have the dominant market share in smartphones. Mm-hmm. If Google has it, it goes, yeah, but look at Apple.
Yeah.
If this is what you're mad about.
Yeah, if I'm going down, I'm taking you with me, is kind of how this feels.
And lawmakers of various colors, stripes, you know, yes. Inclinations go, guys. So, you know, for example, New York is one of the lead states in this action against Google, and its Attorney General Letitia James said Google has served as the gatekeeper of the internet for many years, but more recently it has also become the gatekeeper of our digital devices, resulting in all of us paying more for the software we use every day. Look, there's a big narrative arc going on here, isn't there?
Yes.
Lawmakers have decided, again, various tiers of seniority, various political persuasions have decided that going after big tech kind of works. Mm-hmm. You guys on the ground in the US can tell me if it works there or not. But this is not going to be something that they let up on, is it?
It's really not. I hate to be the one to tell you, but no.
And for different reasons. Like, the left and the right here in the States, which is a very polarized country, is going after big tech for essentially radically different reasons. But they're both going after big tech.
Yeah. And the thing that struck me about that statement, Charlotte, from New York's Attorney General, is that is the bit about money. Because we've seen time after time that, like, people aren't paying up for Android apps. And if they do, they're not paying as much on average. An average Android user isn't paying as much for apps as the average iOS user. So the number of people I know who have Android devices who are like, I won't download an app unless it's free, is almost everybody I know that has an Android phone. So,
yeah.
So I thought that was sort of funny, like, you know, they're taking all our money. No, like, I think from here, the part that I find frustrating about this is that the attempts at going after big tech, you know, take all these different forms, and none of them are the forms that are going to end up being legitimate grounds to do anything. Like, nobody's going after Google for the creepy amount of data that they scoop up from everybody that most people don't even know is happening. Like, that's not the piece that seems to make anyone in Congress upset. And that's the part that I find kind of interesting about this. Like, yeah, if you feel like you need to go in and break them up, go for it. But, you know, do it for reasons that are going to actually hold up. And like, Apple makes too much money, or I don't like Google is not going to be something that's going to hold up allow you to legislate anything of consequence.
Yeah, I mean, let's be fair here. This is not a kind of, I don't like Apple, I don't like Android. This is the antitrust cases there specifically, and keep coming back to this issue of the advantage that two very dominant players in both device, in both, you know, either devices in the case of Apple and certainly operating systems and app stores have. That basically two companies have. Mm-hmm. And that's what this all swirls around on. Now, we can joke here and, you know, can be kind of Team Apple or whatever. But this is obviously not what these cases are about. And look, there is a serious debate to be had about whether technology companies have too much power in the way we access things, the way we pay for things.
Yeah.
RIP my Twitter account, but, you know, Twitter and Facebook could take the president of the United States, could silence the president of the United States, essentially, or now a former president of the United States. So these are very powerful companies, and it is quite reasonable for lawmakers to look into that issue, for politicians to look into that issue, whether they're doing it the right way or, you know, this is the thing that people care about is a whole different debate.
Right. And that's always going to be the case is, you know, I have an Android phone, so I don't care what happens to Apple. You know, I have an iPhone, I don't care what happens to Google. So like, we're kind of always going to see that. But if we find any more, as these things progress or don't, as we find out more information on these fronts, we will make sure and bring it to you here. Now, we have a couple minutes left. Charlotte, do you have any other updates for us on this front?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things swirling around. There's a case in Germany. It's Federal Cartel Office is, again, very similar to what we've just discussed about Google. It's looking into Apple and whether it has, I quote, paramount significance across market that makes it anti-competitive. You're, again, noticing a theme here. So the president of that organization, the Federal Cartel Office, said a key focus of the investigation will be, see if you can guess, the App Store, as in many cases, it empowers Apple to influence the operations of third parties. So there is, things are coming to a head here, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but it feels to me like at some point someone is going to do something decisive that means Apple can't just go, oh, yeah, but for lots of people, we've moved the cut we take of that from their app to 15%. The interesting thing in that Google case we were just discussing is that the point was made that actually a lot of devices that run Android, the Google operating system, often come with multiple app stores preloaded. So if you get a Samsung device, I think there's still a Samsung app store as well as the Google Play. So obviously that's not the case on an Apple device.
Right.
So I think there's all sorts of bits to unpack there, but it feels like we're not so far away from some quite decisive moves on that.
Yeah, I think something has to happen because there's too much sort of standoff happening right now. Like there's a lot that feels like stalemate, and I think somebody's gonna charge into it and have to, you know, make something. So, do we have any other updates? With moments left.
No, I mean, we've covered quite a large part of the globe there.
That's a lot. So, all right. It is a lot. As I said before, as we find out more about these things, we will definitely talk about them. And Brian will continue to come tell Charlotte that she's probably incorrect about things.
That is such an unfair characteristic.
I was kidding. That's why
Charlotte That's why is usually correct.
I know. That's why I have her on all the time.
Let's not look too far under that rock.
Well, I mean, Okay, to be fair, Charlotte, in America, like, most of us will just hear your accent and then assume that you're correct, regardless of what you said. So
true.
I mean, let's there is that. That. So, yeah, let's you can go with that. Lean into that, too. So, yes. So, senior foreign correspondent Charlotte Henry, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks so much. I'm off to go to some elocution lessons or something.
And Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Yep, thanks for having us.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.